Every month, we remix current events to imagine what a slightly altered world could look like. It's the news, only better. Welcome to Living Radio. But first, the news.
A trove of lost Basquiats led to a splashy exhibition. Then the FBI showed up. By Bianca Bosker, The Atlantic.
Discovering a trove of unknown paintings by Basquiat, whose art has sold for as much as $110.5 million and hangs in galleries and museums all around the world, sounds way too good to be true.
According to the man who was selling them, a professional auctioneer named Michael Barsman, he'd found them in a storage unit whose contents he'd bought after its renters had fallen behind on his bills.
Barsman claimed he'd tossed the art in the trash.
Then he fished it out and put it online.
In early 2022, 25 of the pieces, all attributed to Basquiat, made their public debut at the Orlando Museum of Art.
The celebration ended when, 4 months into the show's run, FBI agents seized all 25 artworks on the ground that they were evidence of conspiracy and fraud.
The difficulty of distinguishing original artwork from fakes and forgeries is a useful reminder that knockoffs can sometimes deliver just as much pleasure and insight as real artworks.
And now, here is Samo Samo, written by David H. Rosen, directed by Sarah Connolly. Performed live at Under St. Mark's Theater, February 5th, 2024.
Ten years after a Los Angeles man claimed to find 25 previously unknown Basquiats in an abandoned storage locker, a museum in Orlando, Florida put them up in a much-hyped exhibition that for months drew record crowds. The hype ended 4 months into the show, however, when FBI agents raided the gallery and seized all 25 pieces as a part of an investigation into their provenance. The paintings featured Basquiat's trademarks, blocky teeth, skeletons, crowns, frenzied eyes, vivid reds and blues, and allusions to contemporary events. We spoke with some of the patrons who were in the gallery when the FBI shut the exhibition down.
Well, I was looking at this new Basquiat and I thought, this is the most beautiful painting I've ever seen in my life. And suddenly there were these federal agents everywhere and they told us that these weren't really Basquiats. And I looked at the same painting again and I thought, this is not the most beautiful painting I've ever seen in my life. Like, not at all. It was sort of a disgusting painting. And then I thought, maybe the FBI is wrong and it is a real Basquiat, in which case, wow, it is so, so beautiful.
Yeah, I knew there was something wrong with them. I know a lot about art and what it's supposed to look like, and I liked Basquiat because he really pushed the boundaries of what was possible. But the guys who faked those paintings didn't push the boundaries of what was possible. The most important takeaway from the whole thing, for me, is that I wasn't fooled by the forgeries.
To get a new perspective on this story, we spoke with one of the paintings that was a part of the show. Are you a true Basquiat or a forgery?
And it's crazy because here I am on this canvas and all these colors, blues, blacks, dripping out of my skull and my insides are ripped open and I couldn't decide if I was real or fake, but I didn't feel right. And I'm surrounded by words and I'm surrounded by cops, and I can't move because I'm stuck to the canvas. Or maybe I am the canvas. Or maybe I was cardboard and I was strung up by the back of my neck, and suddenly in the gallery there are more cops, like feds, and more words, and I'm getting taken off the wall and put in the back of a van and strapped down, ankles bound, and sent off to be evaluated, probed, tested.
Well, that's quite an account. Next, we spoke to famed pop singer Madonna, who, having dated Basquiat in 1982, has a unique perspective on his work. Madonna, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. You and Basquiat were very close. Do you still have any of his paintings?
No. When we broke up, he made me give them all back, and then he painted over them in black.
Did you see these new paintings, which experts now believe were forged by a Los Angeles hustler and his childhood friend?
I did see them.
And what did you think?
Jean-Michel was an amazing man and deeply talented. I loved him. And these paintings looked like his work. They were either his or directly inspired by him.
If they were forged just to sell them as if they were real, would you still say that they were inspired by him?
I'd say they were like a version of his work.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What was that?
Like a version, hey, of his work.
A version, but does that mean that
how
they
can
are?
I put this? They did seem a little shiny and new. Ooh, like a version.
But were they real, though?
Does that touched matter?
Andy Warhol, what are you doing here?
Did they move
like
you, man?
Version.
All the department stores were closed. Anyway, who cares about whether they were real? Basquiat's art is what you can get away with.
People want the real thing. Researchers asked participants to imagine the Mona Lisa was burnt to ashes in a fire, and then asked which they'd rather see, an extraordinarily faithful reproduction or the ashes.
I'd rather.
80% said the ashes.
I'd rather see the ashes of the Mona Lisa than the actual Mona Lisa.
Sorry, what?
For the last 500 years, she's been smiling at her admirers, watching people cram around her, trying to get a glimpse, or worse, a picture of her. She must be exhausted. And aren't you exhausted, too? She's had her 15 minutes. Let her set her on fire. Paint over her in black. Let her rest. Hey, is that Madonna?
Hi, Andy.
Hey, I haven't seen you since, well, since I died. You look great. Oh, I must get a picture. Oh, I knew you'd make it big back then.
You always believed in me.
And so did Jean-Michel.
Back to the paintings. Madonna, you're an artist. How would you feel if someone copied your work without your style without attribution?
If they don't give me proper credit, I just walk away.
Because
everybody's living in a material world, and I am a material girl.
Mr. Warhol, you are a noted expert in reproductions. What's your take on this controversial exhibit? The museum director called these paintings extraordinary and said the fact that these masterpieces exist even untouched for 30 years is a marvelous miracle for all of us.
There are masterpieces everywhere that have existed untouched for 30 years. In you, in the ordinary, everywhere. Isn't life just a series of images that change as they repeat themselves? They say time changes things, but actually, you have the power to change them yourself. So make masterpieces.
Me, I'm just a newscaster. I can't.
You can. You really can create masterpieces. The secret, the only thing you need to know is... More cops! Damn it! Jean-Michel must be spinning in his grave. Speaking of graves, did you know that I wanted my grave to just say figment? I really said that. I've got to go get that fixed.
Officer, can you tell us what this is about?
We are with the FBI. I'm Special Agent Kostick, and this is Special Agent Piscola. We have a warrant to search and seize materials from this premises. We have reason to believe...
Living in a material world, material...
Excuse me, ma'am? Ma'am?
Mm-hmm?
Can you stop singing for a moment, please? You're not... You're clearly not Madonna.
Oh, is it clear? Come on, Vogue! Let your body
you sound great, ma'am, but it's
music.
Clear you're not Madonna.
Hey,
you're
hey.
An actor portraying Madonna.
Is that illegal? You're not really a cop.
First of all, you mean I'm not really a special agent.
Okay.
Second of all, would it kill you to suspend your disbelief for just a few minutes?
So you're real and she's not?
I'm the one asking the questions here. And besides, this goes deeper than someone pretending to be Madonna. The script you're reading from, we have reason to believe that it's counterfeit.
Counterfeit?
You're really pushing me over the borderline. borderline.
That's right. It says here that this script was written by one David H. Rosen.
That's correct.
Well, is this his handwriting? This isn't his handwriting.
Typeface.
This isn't his type or his face. In fact, I don't know if he's even a real person. I'm going to need to confiscate those.
How are we going to finish now?
Not my concern.
Wait. I remember what it said.
You do?
Yes. It was something about calling on the audience to help. Oh, it was very funny, the rest of the script. And it also tied together all the loose ends. It was... I'm sorry, I just remembered a joke from...
What did it say about the audience?
Oh, right. It said something about... Oh. I just remembered another joke from the last page. Man, David H. Rosen is so funny. Anyway, it said asking the audience to help us. What was it with... Something similar to a plea to a higher power?
Like a prayer?
Yes! Like a prayer. Can you help us? Everyone here and everyone listening at home?
Wait, you're not gonna really...
He is.
We are. Now make yourself useful. Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home.
Why are you doing this?
Because they're gone, and because we all have untouched masterpieces inside us. When you call my name.
This has been Samo Samo. Written by David H. Rosen, directed by Sarah Connolly. Featuring Nolan Atterbury, Sarah Mish, and Michael Propster. Performed live for Living Radio at Under St. Mark's Theater in New York City, February 5th, 2024. Audio production by Robert A.K. Gagneau. Living Radio was formerly a project of Co-op Theater East. Follow us at Living Radio NYC on Instagram. Like at Living Radio NYC on Facebook, and find all our past recordings at livingradionyc.com.